Episode 211, September 14th, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Is it the Joe Robinson curse once again? The last time the Ravens had a losing season, you, Joe, were doing the post-game show. You were the guy. And now after week one, they lost. They lost the game. They lost their future Hall of Famer, Terrell Suggs, for the season. Can
Joe
we blame
Robinson.
You, Joe? Can we blame you, Joe?
Joe Robinson controls the universe. So here, I'll say this. So at the beginning of the game, before it started, I go, well, this is a game they probably lose. I mean, they were underdogs going in the game. You know, Peyton Manning obviously has a great record opening day. I think he's 13-3. Does that sound right? Something
sounds
ridiculous.
About right.
And then you're in Denver, which is one of the hardest places to play. So you assume, okay, well, this is a game they probably lose. But then when the game was going on, I'm like, well, they should win this game. I genuinely thought they should win it. And then when they lost it, so I... If you would have said at the beginning of the game, they're going to lose with an opportunity to win in the last second, you say, okay, well, that's bad, but at least they're competitive in a situation where, you know, a lot of teams are going to get blown out. But then when I saw the Broncos play, I'm like, they probably should have won that game.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but we had, you know, we do the post game. It's about a half hour after the end of the game because there's the actual broadcast post game where they go into the locker room, interview players and stuff. And so we had pre-recorded our first break, and then the news had hit that Terrell Suggs is one of their star players out for the year. So like we didn't know that, so we had to redo that because clearly we can't open the show and not mention the biggest news. So it was sort of almost a stressful post-game show, to be honest. I thought it was a lot of scrambling and stuff, but I think we pulled it off, Joe.
Yeah, we got really good feedback. So, and it's real feedback because, you know, we got feedback from the program director on the first show and it discouraged me. It made me think we were not going in the right direction. So that made me, again, when you want creative juices flowing, what you want is almost, you want to be like Louis C.K. making Louis. Here, go do whatever you want. That's kind of what you want, right?
Yeah, but that's rare.
Well, you're right. You're not going to get that. But you do want basically autonomy because that liberates you to not stress, and you're funnier when you're not stressed. It's a fact.
Yeah, so, you're going on your natural instincts.
Right, rather than saying, oh, am I going on too long? Am I, you know, is this happening? Am I introing and outroing correctly and doing all those things?
Part of the beauty of having a podcast is you're doing whatever you want to do as opposed to a radio show.
Exactly. What I'm saying right now, I'm saying it with ease, and it's exactly as I would say it. So if you don't like it, well, then you wouldn't like me. But again, with this, I felt a little constricted, but at the end, I thought I had a really good handle on what worked and what didn't. So I put everything together in an email. I sent it to the program director. I said, here's what I thought we did well. Here's what I thought we didn't do well. And he basically agreed with me 100%. So we got a really good direction. I thought it was a good show. Obviously, you're not going to have as good of a show when they lose. You're just not.
No, people are more fired up. They're going to call in. They're just in a better mood. They want to talk. You know, you lose a game like that. As a fan, you're like, I don't even want to think about it. You just want to do something else. You don't want to hear about it for two more hours.
One of the things I really liked that he said was he wants to cram it up. He wants to cram more bits in the beginning of the show, maybe even add some, because there's too much music and highlights and commercials before you get to a break. And if you're only going to have one break, people don't even know it's a show. So we're probably going to do, you know, add two of those breaks, you know, in the first 15 minutes or first, you know, 17 minutes. And I think that's going to work better. And I like that idea because, again, it might actually get another break in there for us.
And the first show, we got feedback about a month later. Well, this show, he called in the middle of the show to say something to the producer, who was a sound thing and nothing to do with us. But then we knew, oh, he's definitely listening. So,
yeah, well, by the way, that's what he should be doing.
Which is good, yeah.
No knock on the last program director, but there's no way in hell he would have listened to this post game, the last program director.
No, no way.
But I love both of them because both of them have employed me. You see what I'm saying? Like, I can't really, I have no bad things to say about either of them. To be honest with you, I prefer when they're not listening, but it's better for my career when they are. Right. Because when they're not listening, you're like, well, cool, I can do whatever I want and I'm at ease and so forth. But when they are listening, that's appropriate. Right. And then you can kind of become within your own talents what they want you to be. And then you have an opportunity there, which I probably, you know, maybe that's why I didn't have as many opportunities. Well, hell, like, he gave me my own show, so it's hard for me to say that. But, you know, whatever happens with this new regime at this station is going to have to do with the vision that he has for this station rather than go do whatever the hell you want.
Well, speaking of listening, I'm not sure if someone that we upset last week will be listening to this show, because last week there was three things that were talked about that might have upset someone. I mentioned Tommy Cimbazzo, a comedian friend of ours who's on our murder mystery show. He was on the post game show, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, you said you were mad at him.
I was mad at him for his a few mistakes he made, and I could see where that might have upset him.
That surprised me, the way that you said that. Yeah. You said I was actually, and you mentioned his name, and you said you were mad at him, and you said why.
I did. So maybe he's upset. I could see that. Or maybe it's the girl who I talked about who brought her new girlfriend, when I thought she was married to a man, to the show. I could see where that could upset her. Or maybe it's our show announcer, Tim, who we sort of had fun at his expense last week. Let's just put it this way. Someone's very upset at us, and we'll get to it in the middle break. But until then, breaking news, Arnold Schwarzenegger, the new host of Celebrity Apprentice. Robbie, this has to be a big deal in your life.
It is. I was not upset when they got rid of Trump.
Did they get rid of him, or did he start running for president?
No, NBC parted ways with him.
And they didn't like some of his comments regarding immigration.
Immigrants. Yeah, they were not pleased with that. So they said, you know, we're just going to part ways with Donald Trump, but The Apprentice will continue. You know, Mark Burnett, who produces Survivor, is the executive producer of that show. And so they went out looking for another host. And I was hopeful. I thought this could be interesting choice.
Hold on. What? Yeah. Tell me who did you have anybody in mind, Robbie?
George Clooney's wife was one of the people who they.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
George Clooney's wife? What's she, just some hot chick?
No. She's
an international lawyer, Joe. She's like a.
Yeah. Come on, Joe.
Why did he marry an international lawyer?
Well, she's also very attractive.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because he used to date Stacey Keibler.
Yeah. Not international lawyer. International wrestling superstar.
If you have, what's George Clooney worth? $100 million?
At least.
If you have $100 million, are you going to date an international lawyer?
Well, if she's a 10 physically and a 10 mentally, I mean, why wouldn't you get the superhero?
Who the hell wants a 10 mentally? Katie's
George
smart
Clooney
enough.
George Clooney does. George Clooney's very smart.
Yeah, he is.
You'd be happier if he was with Stacey Keibler?
Yeah, I'd be happier if Katie was a little dumber. Yeah. She challenges me all the time because she's super smart.
Well, hanging out with you cannot make her smarter. So she's probably dumbing her down.
Things will just get worse and worse for her.
I heard George Lopez was mentioned as a possible.
Oh, God.
Horrible.
Yeah. This is my fear. You know, it's always, and we've mentioned this, my issue with guys that do impressions in comedy is that they force these scenarios. They make no sense so they can do an impression. So right. I'm at the library the other day, and I got to thinking, what if Jack Nicholson was at the library and he ran into Chris Rock? It's like, what? No. What are you talking about?
That's so funny because when I first got into comedy, my best friends in comedy, who I won't say their names because I'm about to be critical of a joke of theirs, but one of them would do,
don't say names.
One of them would do an impression. He'd say, what if Clint Eastwood, Jack Nicholson, and Katharine Hepburn went bowling together? I think it goes something like this. And of course, then, you know, they're bowling and whatever.
Well, now it's the easiest setup ever. Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to host Celebrity Apprentice. Hey, you know who I want him to have on? I want him to have on Denzel Washington and Morgan Freeman and Bill Clinton.
And Richard Nixon.
Yeah, and Christopher
Wayne.
Walken. And, and then they set up this whole thing and Fran Dresser. And now, and it'll kill. And it's going to piss me off.
Yeah, anytime I hear an Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm going to get pissed off. As a matter of fact, when I said I was in my office and I go, oh, wow, when I just got booked to open for Ari Spears, right. I go, wow, I just got booked to open for Ari Spears. And one of my coworkers goes, oh, that guy who does that Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation?
Yeah, he's the one.
And I said, oh, go kill yourself.
But that's we're already seeing the easy. He's not going to say you're fired. He's going to say hasta la vista, baby. I mean, it's all over. Every horrible joke.
So. Well, I think it's a great selection. The reason
I think it is too.
The reason that show works is has nothing to do with Trump. He's a funny character on the show, right. But it really has nothing to do with him. It's the way they cast it. It's the way they produce it and everything. And they just stuck another big egomaniac in there. It's perfect.
Well, it's going to work. Speaking of egomaniacs. Tawanda segue that she'd get upset if she heard that. Incident. There was an incident with a neighbor. This is actually, before I get to that, this is the 1 year anniversary of the incident at work with the cucumber lady.
The lady brought the cucumber to work.
Yeah. It was the kickoff, NFL season kickoff.
You celebrate that anniversary?
Well, they didn't have it this year. They didn't have the NFL potluck. So.
Well, they didn't have it because of the cucumber lady. She
that bitch screwed it up. If you remember a couple of years ago, I mentioned that Tawanda had a beef with our upstairs neighbors at the time.
Didn't she think they were just running on the floor, stomping on the floor on purpose?
Yes. Indian family, very loud shoes, always wearing boots.
All right, enough, Robbie. Go ahead.
So we moved upstairs next to them because of that very reason, which means no one's above us now, and they're next to us, which seems like a less loud situation, which it has been. Well, Tawana's very particular about the parking spot that she gets here at our parking.
Are there reserved spots?
There are not reserved spots, but there's one spot that is bigger than the rest. It's on the end. It's sort of like an in unit, if you will, for parking spots. She likes to park her car there, and it's got extra space, so no one will hit it. And I guess people just accept that that's her spot. She leaves early in the morning. She gets home. Before most people get home from work, she gets home at like, you know, 3 o'clock or something. So it's easy for her to get that spot. Now, occasionally, if someone's in that spot, she'll park in the spot next to it, but she'll park over far enough. You could even park into that other spot and still be far away. So you're giving yourself extra room to the car on the one side. And even though you're over the line to the car on your left, there's still plenty of room. So I guess she did this a few times. And our neighbors here, the Indians, have a new BMW. So they're particular about their car being in the biggest spot. So unbeknownst to me, there was a few weeks of this sort of back and forth jockeying for this parking spot. Like Tawanda would like take my car, park it in her spot in the morning, and then leave for work. Like one day I get in my car and I'm like, why is the seat pull up far? I'm thinking, well, how the hell did that happen? Someone broke into my car, moved the seat forward. They didn't steal anything. I have no idea. I'm like, what? I wasn't drunk. What's happening? So it's weird. She tells me what happened. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. So fast forward, they complain to the management that she's parking over the line. And what they do is they send a letter out, and it's to like every building here in this little, it's like three different buildings, six apartments in each building. And it says, hey, there's someone in a silver car, appears to be a Nissan. It's parking over the line. Can you please stop? You'll be towed, yada, yada, yada. So everyone gets this, including the people who complain. So Tawanda sees it. It's fine. And she's not. She's fine with it. She's okay. No big deal. The Indians who live right next to us, they get it also because, again, everyone gets it. Well, they take their letter.
Yeah, they give it to you, right?
Put it back in front of our thing.
Of course, they don't need it. They're the ones lodging the complaint. Right. Why would they keep it?
And Tawanda hears this. She hears her open the. She hears the woman walking, coming home. And then the thing falls. The paper's lodged in the thing, and it falls down. And then she comes back out, throws it in front of ours. Tawanda goes, puts it back in front of theirs. Then the husband comes home. He sees it, puts it like in the middle. Tawanda sees it, puts it back in front of theirs. Now, this is happening last Friday night where I'm at your place, Joe. We're working on the murder mystery. And I don't know any of this has happened. So then the husband, at some point between Tawanda putting it back in front of her, their place, the husband had left. So now he comes back home and he sees it's in front of his door again. And Tawanda, she can hear someone walking up the stairs. She hears him take it and, you know, throws it. And it's paper, so it's only going to be loud if you make it loud. You know, you throw it, dumping.
You crinkle it up, right.
So she jumps up, opens the door. This guy is frantically trying to get back in this house, but his wife had did the chain lock, so he couldn't get back in.
She
so Tawanda catches him, and she's pissed.
And she says?
And she says, hey, I know I got mine. You don't need to give giving this to me. He goes, well, I didn't know if you got it. Everyone gets one. They're numb. It says every apartment on here. You and your wife can stop fucking playing games. And Tawanda never curses.
The F word to this Indian guy?
She says it. I've heard her curse maybe two or three times. She doesn't curse. She'll say F instead of the whole thing. She'll say BS. She won't even say shit. I mean,
that's the only thing I don't like about Tawanda.
I like that about her. It's classy. The wife then opens the door. She says the same thing to her. She throws the paper back at them and says, I don't care if you complain. That's fine. I complain about you. It's no big deal. But stop the game shit. So now I'm thinking when she tells me about this, I'm like, ah. Because we watch this thing on ID channel. It's like the murder channel. And they have a show where it's neighbors that have a beef that starts, you know, a dog shitting their lawn. 3 years later, the whole family's murdered. Okay.
Right.
Right. So I'm thinking, oh, this is what's going to happen.
By the way, yeah, it's not like you're the good guy. You're them. They say those guys. They don't say her. You're the,
right.
It's those guys that live over there.
Yes. So they go back in, and I guess Tawanda had convinced them because they come back out. They knock on the door. Tawanda takes her iPad, hits record. She's, I'm going to record this. She opens the door. She's got this. She's got recording. And he goes, no, it's not like that. It's cool. I apologize. They apologized to her. She won. They backed off. They admitted they were wrong. They shouldn't have done that. Everyone wins. She was right.
Just think if former Governor Marvin Mandel would have done that.
So
does she have a recording of the apology?
I think she stopped recording, but I wish.
That'd be great.
That would be great. So I would have just thrown it away I would have avoided the confrontation. But she didn't. She sought it out almost. But she was right. She won. She ended up getting them to apologize. And I guess she's the better. I guess she's better than me in that way. And because I would have just given up and said, fuck it. And thrown
she
it away.
Won. Yeah. So in my previous residence with landlord Phil, he had a car that broke down. And it broke down, I believe, November of last year. I might be wrong about that, but I believe that's what the date was. He went out and bought a new car, and he took his car and he put it in the parking lot of the townhome community where he lives, and that's still where it sits. As far as I know, when I moved out, you know, 6 weeks ago or whatever, it was still there, and no one has ever complained. Meaning there's a limited number of free spots. His broken down car occupies this free spot and has done so for almost a year, and there hasn't been one word said. Well, Tawanda's tire is on the line, and this couple, and as a result, they have to do a memo that's then dispersed to the entire community. Yeah, she has every right to be upset.
And the really good news is that they're moving. The Indian couple is actually moving.
You guys going to move back downstairs then?
I don't know. We might just take over this whole apartment. We're not going to buy a house now. We got it made. We're gonna make sure that we get good neighbors, though. We're going to let's take a break. We'll come back. The shit hit the fan last week. We'll break it all down for you. We may have lost a good friend and maybe forever. Robin Joshua, be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, October 2nd at the Arlington Cinema and Draft House. Tickets on sale now. For upcoming show dates and more info, visit facebook.com/dielaughingproductions or robinjoe.com. And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
Well, should we spoil it? Should we just say what's happening?
Why don't we go through the people again and just kind of scenario it? Because actually there was, especially, I know there was to Tommy, there was actually an interaction between you two.
Yeah, if you remember last week, we did our inaugural murder mystery show at the Arlington Draft House, special appearance from Rob Spiewak. I couldn't be there. I was at my own show at McGoobie's Joke House. And I will explain further why I couldn't be there when we're on TMOS this Thursday, because I'm sure they're going to grill me. And Tommy Simbaza, who's a regular part of the show, was doing my role. So it was his first time doing that role. And by all accounts, he was hilarious. But he did a couple procedural things wrong in terms of bringing people on the stage. And I guess maybe, you know, that's my part. And that's my part. You know, I want it to be perfect. You know, I guess you have some ownership of something. And I guess I was mad. I was mad, and I mentioned him by name last week. As being
well, you mentioned that you got mad at your show, and you said his name, and you said he screwed up. Right.
In front of other people, yes. And
but Tommy actually, I get what he reached out to you and go, dude, I'm so sorry. Is that right? Is he accepted ownership of that?
Tommy reached out to me on Facebook, and I explained that I came off a little too strong right there. And we talked last night. Everything's cool. Now, there was the other situation where I have a female friend of mine who I thought was still happily married to this guy who on Facebook says she's coming to my show. I see her that night. She's, hey, here's my new girlfriend. And I'm like, well, you could have mentioned that. So, you know, affairs of the heart, girlfriend, husband thing. Maybe I said too much. Maybe she's upset. Maybe the husband doesn't know. I don't know. She didn't hear from her in the clear.
And yeah, I doubt she heard this.
Yeah, that brings us to one Tim Moran, show announcer Tim Moran, or perhaps former show announcer.
Don't play sound effects, Robbie.
Former show announcer Tim Moran. Well, you know, we're doing this next murder mystery, and it's a TV game show concept where we have an announcer, and he's going to do the announcement, and the Rod Roddy, welcome to the show, and give some product placement ads in the middle. And we thought, hey, let's have our buddy Tim Moran be that guy. It's all pre-recorded. And we brought him down to 98 Rock last week. And it didn't go so well. And we went on the show. And we sort of talked about how it didn't go so well.
Yeah, we were over the line. We were.
Yeah, we were.
And it's funny because I just gave Marcus shit for apologizing, right?
Yeah.
But I also think that Marcus apologizes for things that where he still thinks he's right. You know, like the, especially the Wendy scenario where Wendy threw me under the bus to make herself look better. He said that's bullshit. He ends up apologizing to Wendy. No, but you know, he knows that he was right about that. That was bullshit. Thank you for that, by the way, Marcus. But really, we shouldn't have done this. First of all, you know, Tim has done 4 years worth of free work for this show.
Right. And he drove all the way to Baltimore.
No, I'm just talking about this show. Right. Yeah. He gets on every, I don't know what, Robbie, 4 months or whatever. And they record, you know, 4 months worth of episode intros and commercials and all kinds of stuff for the show. He does it for nothing. And then I wanted him to do some audio for the murder mystery. He drove on a day that he had a vacation day all the way down from Chevy Chase to the 98 Rock Studios. I gave him no heads up, no copy. That he was supposed to read, and then he read it, and we crapped all over him, and then we played the outtakes on here. So that was wrong. We shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, we not intentionally, but we did. We sort of set him up to fail, again, not intentionally. And then when it didn't go well, we didn't say, "Hey, Tim, we're going to talk about this," and we didn't plan on it. It just sort of happened,
right? And you know,
we talked about it on the show, and he texted us both. Really laid into us.
He did. And the thing about it is, I really think, maybe I'm crazy, but I don't think I have a thin skin. I take a lot of shit. I take a lot of shit on Facebook. I do. So I just assume that people are like me. But Tim is not in the public media. He's just a guy who's helping us out. So he needs to be treated differently than maybe even I treat you or you treat me. And I'm okay with that. So Tim, sorry about that. We messed it up. Although I will say, Tim is very vicious in his in him chastising us. Now, he was right, but he's like, you know, he's talking about my voice is better than your. Well, it is. Everybody knows his voice is better than ours. That's why we have him read our copy. That's why we decided that he would be the person that would be the voice of these murder mystery ads. Yes, clearly Tim's voice is better. But I will say this, when I listened back to the break a couple times, because it was over the top, it was too much. So, I'm sorry, but I did compliment Tim's voice like three times on there.
Yeah, when we left there that day, I still thought we could use it. And then when I drove home and called you, then we got the idea that, you know, having Marcus do it, you know, this is what he does for a living. I mean, he does reads. That seemed, and that would be easier to walk him through it. That would make more sense. So, but... Look, we asked you to do us a favor, Tim. And then when you did it, you tried your best, and then we didn't like it, then we shit on you. So that
with
we were wrong.
Pills, sex will become a real art.
We were wrong, Tim. But now he's unfriended us on Facebook.
No. Tim's one of my oldest friends. He'll get
your oldest friend.
Yes, he's one of my oldest friends. He's not going to stay mad, but I don't know that. Either way, he's not. He's not going to stay mad.
Well, it bothers me.
Robbie, stop playing Tim Drop. Seriously. Anyway, go ahead.
I'm upset that I like Tim a lot. Tawanda loves Tim. She's going to be mad.
Everybody loves Tim.
If I ruin it, Tim.
Yeah, no. This will blow over. You know, Tim, he'll forgive me. And yeah, but that was screwed up. We shouldn't have done that. So that's that. I'm not going to lay it on any thicker than that.
Well, the other thing is, and I lose sight of this sometimes, is when we're on the radio or doing comedy or doing this podcast, we're always trying to find what's interesting, what's funny, what's provocative. And sometimes you lose sight that you're talking about a real person here. I remember when I first started dating Tawanda, for years I would do this joke where I would talk about how prostitutes, they won't let you kiss them because it's too intimate and too personal, which I thought is just sort of funny because, you know, you can tie them up and pee on them, but just don't make out with them. Anyway, this is part of a larger bit, but at some point I would ask a girl in the audience, hey, would you kiss me? And then she would generally say no, and then I would call her a prostitute. Oh, you must be a prostitute.
Funny.
And then people would laugh. Now, occasionally this could go two ways. I could ask the girl that's sort of been giving me a hard time and that knowing she's going to say no and that'll get a bigger laugh. Or I can ask the girl that I might think might say yes. And then I'll say okay, and then we'll make out on stage.
You never made out with anybody on stage, did you?
A bunch of times.
Oh, really? That's hilarious.
Right. And then I would ask her friend, who at that point would say, no, oh, well, then you're a whole prostitute.
Right, got it.
Well, I'm dating Tawanda. I only got a little over 2 months, and I'm at the Comedy Factory, my last week there before they barred me.
And you're making out with
And I asked this woman, who was some older woman who wasn't attractive, but that's what made it funnier. And now she's hopping on me, grinding and stuff. And it's destroying. And then, but Tawanda was upset. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess she would be upset by that. So, but that's me not thinking. I'm in that mode. I'm just going for the laugh, not realizing that there's real people in my life.
Yeah. And that was a big bone of contention in my previous life. You know, that my material in some way degraded, right? But yeah. Also, you know, basically you were just having fun at your life because it was my life too. And I took a ton of shots at myself. But you're right. I can't tell people how to feel. You can't. Now, you hope. And that's one thing that I do love about girlfriend Katie is that, especially on this show, she gets it. She's like, okay, yeah, this stuff is funny. We're trying to find the funny in our own lives. And sometimes that's going to happen. People going to happen at people's expenses. But the truth is, I knew Tim wasn't okay with it, and I did it anyway. So that's where I screwed up. I knew he wasn't okay with it because we had done it before, early on. Robbie, you remember when he would come over and record the commercials?
Yes,
we did it. It pissed him off, and then we did it again. So yeah, that was wrong to do, and yeah. So I've already apologized a million times.
Hopefully, we can make that right. Another update. You remember a few months back, Joe and I are at 98 Rock. I forget what we were doing there, but someone in the lobby there said, hey, are you Rob and Joe? She just recognized our voices. And we're like, yeah. She goes, oh, I listen to the podcast. Her name was Wendy. She works in some capacity for either the TV station there or the radio station. And we ended up having a conversation about it. And I think that we were guessing her age. Well, fast forward to last
week. Well, no, I think I said on the broadcast, some 50-year-old woman is what I said. Right. It was me.
So, okay, good. So then I see her when I'm doing radio to plug my Magoobies weekend. I see her. And I'm like, oh, hey, you're Wendy. We talked about you on the show. And then I see her face. It doesn't look happy. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Now I'm racking my brain. Wait, I thought we were positive. What did we say? I'm like, oh, wait, did we guess your age or something? And she said, yeah. I said, well, what did we say you were? She said, 50. I said, okay, well, how old are you? 48. I was like, well, come on. We're in the ballpark.
Well, here's the problem.
You can't get upset at that.
I'm going to tell you what the problem is.
Wendy, we love you.
Here's the problem. And I was actually talking. I went to friend Erica's dad's party the weekend before. And there was an older lady there, and I was talking. I don't remember how the subject came up. Is that here's the reason that this happens. It's because every woman thinks they look younger than they are. Do you know why?
Because they want to look younger.
Well, because every time they say, how old do you think I am? We know.
Yeah.
We know to look at them and say 10 years younger than you think that they are.
Yeah.
Every single time somebody says, how old do you think they are? I look at them and go, I don't know. What are you, 35? When I know they're in their 40s. I go, no, I'm 46 years old. I'm like, oh, my God. Well, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy where they want to look younger. Guys not being stupid enough to guess what they really think that they are. This isn't a carnival. We're just trying to stay out of trouble, right?
Right.
And the funny thing is the lady that I was talking to, everybody was laughing. I was telling the story, but it was this older lady. And I told that, she goes, well, we're not stupid. Well, okay, what? So when people, you say, how old do you think I am? And people say you're 29, you go, ha, 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 I know you're lying, I'm 70. You know, I mean, I don't think women are stupid, but I do think that they want to appear younger. So when they get support for that, then that's just something that's reinforced. It doesn't mean you're dumb.
Right.
It means you want to believe it, so you do.
Well, those are questions you can never answer. How old do you think I look? How much do you think I weigh? How many guys do you think I've slept with? You can't ever give the real truth to those.
Wait, hold on. You're saying somebody said to you, how many guys do you think I've slept with? You might have had a conversation How many people?
I'm saying if we've had that. No, it's never been asked me. But
have you ever guessed how much? How many guys do you think I've slept with? I don't know, 40. Oh, what do you mean? 12? What do you think I'm a slut?
Well, yeah, I don't even know where to guess on that. All right, let's say you think that a woman is 35 and you think that she's had sex with 30 guys. What would you guess?
10.
Man.
How, is she single?
Yeah.
How long has she ever been married?
No.
Oh, if she's 35 and she's never been married? Yeah, I mean, he's probably slept with 100 guys.
You know what I'm saying? What? No way. You would never think that. 100 guys? I think the average woman sleeps with like less than 10 guys in a lifetime.
Well, those are women that get married. But see, it's different now. It's different now. And yeah, I know no, this because, first of all, it's a much more liberal world now. And also, people are much more accessible because of online dating. Yeah. I know I've told this story, but I haven't told it in a long time. But Robbie lived with me for a short period of time when he was in transitions, one of his 9 marriages, right?
All right.
And this was my, I think James was a baby. My youngest son was a baby. He's 15 now, right? So
he wasn't a baby. He was a youngster, but he wasn't a baby.
Okay, well, what was this, like 12 years ago, Robbie? I mean, are you sure? Because that would mean if he was 5, it was 10 years ago. It feels like longer than that.
He was sleeping in his own bed at that point.
Well, Robbie, you're going to know, when did you leave your second, when did you and your second wife split up?
Horrible with this, with these time periods. It was 2004.
Okay, all that's right. 11 years ago. So all it wasn't really the same as it is now in terms of the how common online dating is. But Robbie's a pioneer. And what he used to do is he'd come home, he'd go into the room where he was staying. He'd be in there. I'd hear him feverishly working the keyboard. After about, and this is why we talked about this when we did the Scott Apple, when Scott Apple met basically his bride, was because Robbie was so good at this. I mean, Robbie, you tell me, I don't think you were ever in your room for more than 30 minutes. And then he was out the door with a backpack. Now, the backpack meant if this girl is willing, I'm going to stay there. He never brought him back to his room at his brother's house. He would go over to their house. And sometimes he would come back home, and sometimes he would stay out with the backpack. But he would stay out about 50% of the time. So my point is that these girls, they're sleeping with somebody. You know what I'm saying? They're sleeping with Robbie. They just met him. So I think if you're in your late 30s today, the way the world works now, I just imagine you're above 10.
Well, it's also something that people would lie about when asked in a survey. But you have the problem is you have the women out there that marry their high school sweetheart. That's the only guy they have in their entire life. And then you have women out there that have 50 sexual partners. So I want to talk about this, though, Joe. Speaking of sex, something that Katie said the other night. So we make fun of you now. She's a little graphic, folks, but it'll be funny. She said that when you first hooked up, your first encounter, that you were...
Hey, I don't know that this is okay to say.
I asked her the other night.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I asked her in chat.
Be vague, but go ahead.
I mean, she's in chat. Ask her.
All right. She said, okay. Go ahead and go with it.
You were performing an act on her.
Right.
An oral act.
Okay. Yeah, the act was fine. People know what you're talking about.
You're
go ahead.
Oral sex.
They got it. Okay. Go ahead.
No, wait. Right. He's referring to
oral sex.
Yeah, we got it. We got it. Continue.
What? Why are you laughing, Robbie? And I haven't gotten to the funny part. And you said that she tasted like Skittles.
That's right.
And
I think that's a bad line.
I think you must be a great lover because I wouldn't have the confidence to say that because I would think – I'm thinking if I say that, this girl's going to be like, this guy is a freaking weirdo and end that shit.
Well, that was 2 years ago, my friend, so –
Well, then the next time you said tastes like rice pudding –
Rice Krispie Treats.
Rice Krispie Treats.
Well, I was running – I don't think that the Skittle line was going to work 2 times in a row. I had to go to another tasty
And you
treat.
Weren't being funny. You were – you. It blows my mind.
I don't think I wasn't being funny. I think I was just trying to be adorable. You know what I mean?
I mean, is that weird or am I weird for thinking that's weird?
Okay, well, I'm getting an okay enough in chat from Katie.
Well, I mean, if she really does taste like Skittles, she needs to pass that around because that's a gift.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that this is. I think we need to change the subject.
All right, I don't think I've ever said that how a woman's tasted down there.
Yellow pudding, goobity goop.
I mean, Robbie, am I Marcus? You've went down on some chicks in your day.
One or two.
I mean, is that a go-to line that you say you taste like something?
Well, no, hold on. You don't ask if it's a go-to line. Ask if it would work. But it was not a line. It was just trying something adorable that I was trying to say. Go ahead.
No, fellas, have you done that? Have you said, oh, baby, you taste like butterscotch? I mean,
a butterscotch? That's old people candy.
I love butter or caramel. I love butterscotch. He tastes like a junior mint.
He tastes like a Lucky Charms marshmallow.
It's got to be sweet. It can't be savory. You taste like macaroni and cheese.
Well, let me just say that I more tend to agree with you because it was made fun of profusely that night. So,
right. Well, okay, Robbie, have you done this?
No, I wish I'd thought of it.
Yes.
It's never too late. You taste like wants.
Robbie, Robbie, you're never thinking about that when you're packing that backpack up?
No.
What did you say the beanbag tasted like?
You taste like pledge.
Marcus, have you ever done this?
I have, and I just got in trouble recently actually saying how wonderfully neutral tasting a particular person was.
A particular person, not your wife, he said.
You taste neutral. That's got to be worse.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably being honest, though. You taste neutral. That could be the name of this episode. Anyway, well, maybe I'll try that. I guess, I don't know. I guess maybe it's like if you're a girl, you're just happy a guy's doing that to you. Like if you're a guy, you're just happy a girl's doing it to you.
I think a guy's a lot happier than a girl.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how often that's done to a girl and how much she likes it.
Katie just said in chat, your pH is so balanced. That would be the ultimate compliment.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. What are we going to talk about? Oh, yeah. Fat people. Rob and Joe should be right back.
Do you struggle to find the perfect dog sitter for your dog when you travel? Find loving, trustworthy dog sitters who will treat your dog like family with Rover.com. It's easy to get started. Just go to Rover.com and search by travel dates and location to find a 5-star dog sitter near you. Read reviews, browse photos, and even arrange a meet and greet with a sitter. Once you've found the right one, book a stay at your house or theirs. Relax, your dog is in good hands. Rover sitters are friendly, dog-loving neighbors you just haven't met yet. They'll even text you photos and updates. Peace of mind and proof that your dog is enjoying the stay. So give your pet the TLC they deserve. Sign up today at Rover.com and use promo code RobinJoe to receive your first night of sitting free. Go to Rover.com now and enter RobinJoe for your free night. That's Rover.com.
And now back to the Robin Joe Show.
So we haven't touched on this, but this Nicole Arbour, this YouTube comedian, which is one of these new things that exist now, Vine stars, Instagram, I don't know, just people that are just Twitter superstars. They can make a living just being funny and never having either performed in front of an audience or written a movie or a sitcom. Or
yeah, we had one as an early guest on the show.
We did?
Yeah, Veronica Belmont.
Oh, no, she's a tech person. She has a real career. She's not trying to be funny. But I get what you're saying. She's an internet creation.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But this Nicole Arbour chick is relatively attractive. Did a video about, you know, fat people just lose weight, yada, yada, yada. And people got upset. And now I've heard of Nicole Arbour. I've never heard of her before. And the only way she makes money is by people going to her YouTube page. So you're just making her money by getting upset.
Yeah, I've seen it. So what do you think it has? A million views? Probably has more than that.
Would you have watched it if nobody said anything?
I wouldn't. I didn't. Somebody showed it to me.
But you're right.
I mean, the fact that I've seen it, yes, that means millions of people have seen it.
Because it's not like she has a sitcom where you could take, you could get angry, which I didn't agree with anyways, but you could get angry and take that away from her. All you could do is get angry and feed into what she's trying to do.
Yeah, watch the, I mean, the people that are, that say, oh my gosh, can you believe this girl? They're going to go watch it.
Right.
And as it just pumps up in views, she's going to make more and more money.
Yeah, and then her response, her comeback, her, yeah, everything is just going to help her out. But I, this bothers me. I saw, I'm in Walmart today. You know, they have the motorized grocery carts. I don't,
yes.
For, I don't, well, when it's some kids in it, I mean, it's, that bothers me, but they're a kid and a teenager where they're having fun. That's okay. I probably would have done the same thing. But it's supposed to be for like an old person or some handicapped person. But it's some fat person who's like 400 pounds. No, because this is, you're in your prime walking situation. You're inside, air conditioning, and you've got food at every corner to motivate you. Oh, what's around this corner? Oh, look at that new flavor Oreos. You should, this is, if you're not walking in this situation, then you're never going to walk.
Well, hold
and that
on.
Pisses me off.
Well, why do you care unless there's some old person that can't use a cart because some fat?
They don't know who's coming in after them that might need it.
Well, neither do you.
It's like you call 911 on bullshit or an ambulance for some bullshit reason.
Well, neither do you. But are you really mad? You're mad when you see a fat person running around Walmart?
I am mad, yes.
Okay. By the way, what Nicole Arbour said... I don't have an issue with it. I have an issue with her saying that publicly. Like, this is my statement to the world.
Right.
You know, fuck fat people. That's my issue with it. Right? I mean, if you and I are sitting around
fuck a fat person who takes something that's not for them.
Well, that's my point, is that if you and I are sitting around and we're having a conversation, you go, "Oh, I hate this blah blah blah." That's nothing. Yes, I agree. Okay, yes, they shouldn't be using those carts. They should be walking around the aisles, blah, blah, blah. But if I say, you know what, this is now my cause. My cause is to shame these fat people. That's when I have a problem. Like, what's your deal? Now, if she's just trying to be hilarious, you know me, if you're trying to be funny, I'll let you do whatever the hell you want.
Right. I'm not on her side that she should have a platform to shame fat people.
Well, no, but you agree with her.
No, I do. I didn't even watch it. That's how little I, because I didn't.
Oh.
I didn't want to help her. I'm purposely not watching her stuff. That's my way.
There is a way you agree.
I can't agree with something if I didn't know what she said.
Well, I'm telling this to you.
Okay.
There's a weight that if you hit it, okay, you can use the scooter, right? you're right. There is a weight. You said 400 pounds. Dude, you know how big somebody weighs 400 pounds is? Give him a scooter. If it's a chick. Like, I work with a dude who weighs 400 pounds. Remember in the first murder mystery, he was the guy who played the local comic?
Right.
Okay, large if you're guy. A girl and you're that size, I mean, he's 6'5". If you're 5'2" and you weigh 400 pounds, let her have a scooter.
No. See, I don't mind if you have a cart full of Cheetos and Oreos. Like, hey, you got an issue with food? We all have our issues. Not going to bother big shit on you for that.
Just walk again is what you're saying.
Walk. It's not, you're not even going to walk a mile. You're going to walk a quarter mile at the most.
Air
conditioning.
In chat, Rob is jealous of her views versus his MocoVox views. Well, how long ago was MocoVox? Is that 3 years ago or 4 years ago?
A reference that he loves to make that no one remembers or gets anymore.
Super no, so you think Rob and Joe show get it?
I love him for that. Eric was, he listened to the my appearance on JL's podcast. You probably didn't, Joe.
Listen to the whole thing.
Oh, thanks for the feedback. But no, am I being a dick or am I right to thinking you should be walking?
Listen, I think that Joe is correct that there's a certain weight you can get away with that. But sometimes I'll see people and I go, what the hell's wrong with them? I have the same thought.
Yeah. I mean, if you walk to your car. You drove her. You walked from the parking lot. You can walk.
Sorry, I just tried to pull up Nicole Arbour. That's what that noise was. I was trying to see how many views her video had.
I don't know. Tawanda says...
Here, dear fat people. Okay, would you like to know how many views dear fat people has? Would you like to guess?
Yes. I heard it got taken down, but maybe it got...
I'm looking right at it.
Was that the original one or that someone...
I wouldn't know, but this one... I don't know. Tell me how many views you think it has, and then I'll say, well, this must not be the original one based on your...
If it does it say her YouTube page?
Yeah, I'm on her YouTube page.
It probably has 5 million views.
I'm going to, wow, Rob. You know what? How about 4,978,134? That's pretty good. I think you guessed within 1%. So,
and after they hear this episode, it's going to pump up, jump up to 5 million. Tawana said, I heard it tastes like A1 sauce. It's not a line.
Oh, wow. Do you ever use A1 sauce?
I mean, I have, but it's not a go-to thing. I usually just have the steak, I like horseradish maybe.
A1 is for French fries and cheap cuts of meat.
Yeah, well, I do eat a lot of cheap cuts of meat. Okay, Tawana wants me, insists on me saying, what is this? Okay, I agree, Boo. I hate when they use the handicap bathroom because it's roomier. So no fat people in the handicap bathroom.
No, listen, that's... Is that real? Because the handicapped bathroom is not for handicapped people. The handicapped bathroom.
Who's it for?
Hold on.
Who's that railing for?
Listen, the handicapped bathroom is available to handicapped people. It means you have to have a bathroom that they can use. It doesn't mean only handicapped. It's not like a handicapped spot. It's that there's a toilet, but handicapped people have to be able to use a stall.
What's the handicapped parking place for? Can anyone park there?
That's what I just said. It's not like that. It's not. I mean, I know I'm right about this. You can't. It's like, well, sorry, that you got to wait till this guy's done because you can't use the handicap. No, in case a handicapped person comes in. No, if they come in.
No, I always use the handicapped bathroom. It's available.
Can I say one other thing? I have never in my life, ever, and I'm old, you know that.
Yeah.
Seen a handicapped person waiting for that stall to become available in my whole life.
I think they're able to manage their situation to avoid having to use a public bathroom.
Rob means they wear a diaper.
I'm saying they just know what to eat, what not to eat, they got their whole system figured out. That's what I think.
You think the handicapped people are the most diet conscious people? Maybe. So what, they only have movements when they're not in public? What are you even talking about?
No, I'm saying if you have diarrhea, you can run to the bathroom. If you're a handicapped person, you're gonna lose it. So maybe you're more conscious of that stuff. You figure out.
You're only eating bananas and cheese.
Yeah. You probably have it happen to you once.
And taking painkillers, that's all you're doing.
That's never gonna happen again. Yeah. They can sense it. They can sense it coming on earlier, so they know about this stuff. That's what I think.
Or they don't feel it at all.
Or they don't. Well, then they don't even care.
Well, that's right? A different thing completely.
Hey, shout out to Courtney and Mark. They did a great job the last couple weeks filling in for you, Marcus Serta, on the Omericast. We should be drunk this week. We weren't.
Yeah.
Drunk.
What did they say? I missed it. I know last week they didn't say they thought we were drunk.
They said you speak so poorly that they just assumed you were drunk.
Well, that's, I don't have a problem with that. Is that what they said this week?
Yes. I made it a little funnier, but basically, yeah.
That's kind of funny. Yeah. They didn't say they thought we were drunk. They said we were clearly drunk.
Right. But they didn't mind us being clearly drunk. We're just bad public speakers sometimes. We slur.
Yes, as show announcer Tim, when he was berating us, made sure that we knew that we had horrible voices. Which is, by the way, that's not fair. To make fun of me about the things that I make fun of myself about. That's a very Dan Ninen thing to do.
Yeah.
But I can't really take any shots at Tim this week. I gotta stick with what I said earlier.
Yeah. Well, Marcus, how was your trip to the Russian spa?
It was fantastic. It was unbelievable. And I was all alone with just me, my father-in-law, and my uncle-in-law as we sat there naked in a very hot sauna for about an hour.
What do you mean it was unbelievable? You didn't. There's something happened. You didn't believe it.
Well, when you walked in this space, and I sent you guys a picture of one of the signs that was on the wall, it is very much like a Russian mob movie you've seen, where all the heads of the mob are in there and just their towels, and they're talking about who they're going to whack, and not in a good way, and. As a matter of fact, my wife brought up a movie. It's the one with Viggo Mortensen where he played a Russian mobster.
Yeah.
If you remember the scene where he has the fight and he kills a guy in the Russian spa, that's the spa I was in.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. How many penises did you see?
Unfortunately, one.
What do you mean one? You were with two people.
Well, my uncle-in-law was able to keep his towel to himself. So
he never... He never took. What did you do? Did you just let God's glory flow or whatever?
Let the freak flag fly, baby. It was all out there.
I'm gonna tell you. First of all, if you're naked, I'm gonna meet gaze. I'm gonna take a little peek. Right. Yeah. I'm gonna do that.
What'd
no matter
you call
what.
It? Meet gaze.
Yeah, I'm gonna meet gaze.
That sounds like you're gonna meet gaze. You're gonna meet gay guy.
You can take it.
Don't say
take
that.
It however you want.
Well,
okay.
No, you shouldn't say that, Joe. Hey, if you're naked, I'm going to meet gays. I'm thinking you're going to go meet gay guys. What do you say?
I'm a meat gazer. You follow what I'm saying?
No, I didn't at first. I thought.
Now you do.
Oh, look at that dick. I got to go meet a bunch of more of those.
So you know what I'm saying.
You taste like Skittles.
I'm going to meet gays. But also, if I'm there, I'm not comfortable walking around naked. I'm not. If that makes me whatever, fine. Label me however you want. I'm gonna keep a towel on. I am. I'm not gonna walk around naked. I don't have the body confidence of a young Marcus Serta. I'm sorry. And then, of course, your father-in-law is there with his gray pubes just sitting there, spread eagle. Oh, that must have been. You're right where it says it's unreal. That is unreal to me. I would never. I'd be like, no.
What did it say on the sign again, Marcus?
The rules before going in were no sex, no guns. No horseplay, and there was one other that I don't recall right now. But the big thing is when you're in the sauna, there was a warning on the wall. And because you would have to take these ladles of water and put it on the rocks. So it said on the wall, this oven will blow your fucking head off.
It said the F word?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And that
sounds like those rules were meant for Robbie. No sex, no guns.
Yeah.
No Asians.
No sex. The best we can do is put a foot up your sorry ass while dumpster diving for your clothes. That's what the sign said.
How old is your father-in-law again?
70 plus.
I'm telling you right now, as God is my witness, if I had a 76-year-old man say, do you want to do this? I'd be like, no, I won't do it.
All I can say.
And if they said why, I would say because of you.
My father-in-law followed up by saying, I'm very happy that my daughter has you as her husband.
Aww. Oh, because she does no pain. No pain involved. easy to take on.
He figured she was well pleased.
Well, welcome back, Marcus.
Well, hold on. Your grandfather complimented your cock? Is that, I mean, sorry, her dad did?
No, I'm taking two conversations and mixing them. No, he didn't actually.
I was gonna say that does sound unreal. So yeah. I'm starting to believe what you said.
Unbelievable, Joe. You have a new car. Very proud of you.
Yeah, I don't know that there's much of a story. By the way, if you're selling me a car, you're in luck. I just want to get out of there. I'm the opposite of my dad, who would drive from dealer to dealer and just beat them down, full size spare, floor mats, whatever. And I don't have it in me. So I found a friend, somebody who works at the Annapolis Acura. I went there and I paid. I don't think I paid a lot of money. I think I got a pretty good deal on my car.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty nice car. I rode in it with you last night.
Thanks, man.
Got all kinds of new gadgets.
What I've decided is that, yeah, that's the thing that I like, gadgets. People say, yeah. Oh, it's got this engine. Don't care. Oh, it drives it. Don't care. I don't care about anything because I don't care how fast my car goes.
Right.
Yeah, I just care if I'm comfortable in it. And if it has a lot of gadgets, and it does, it has the tech package, right? I got all the gadgets.
Yeah, you got the bells and whistles, man. That's cool.
Why does Eric the actor say in chat? It says no. Joe got an Acura. Does he have the same look that all Acura drivers have? What does that mean?
I don't know. I didn't know that they had a look.
Is it a douche look?
You know, Eric the actor. He's got a lot of opinions on things. Generally, if you'd have got a friggin' Toyota, he probably would have said the same thing. Oh, you're going to have that Toyota.
It said, it's the look that I'm better than your Honda, even though we drive the same car. Well, people used to always tell me when I drove my Lexus that it's the same as a Toyota. If it is, it isn't. I don't care. I'm not trying. Like, well, I didn't drive that so you'd think that I was somebody that I'm not. But that was the best car I ever had. But somebody said to me, if that was the best car you ever had, why don't you go buy that again? And I didn't have a good answer for him.
Well, Acura is better than a Honda. I mean, that's their.
No, but Honda. I had a.
No, but I'm saying he's saying that they're looking at you like that Acura is better than a Honda, but it is.
But he's saying I look down on Honda. You drive a Honda, Rob. I don't look down on you.
No, but I mean an Acura. I mean they have a company, and the Honda's the base, and the Acura is the high end of their. It's not. I don't know, that wouldn't be insulting. If you looked at me like you had a better car than me, you do. I don't care.
Go ahead, Robbie. Eric said the Acura drivers look smug. Actually, if you buy the high end, the highest end Toyota, and the low end Lexus, they're basically the same car.
Yeah,
yeah, and I believe that.
But it's an Acura. It's not like you're out there driving a Jaguar.
No, right. Although there was an Acura, and I'm not a car guy, you know that. It was in the showroom, and it cost $180,000. Now, I think Eric the actor is a car guy. He might be able to tell us what that is, or girlfriend Katie.
Yeah, but, that's a stupid car.
But the first house I ever bought, I paid $66,900 for.
Yeah, there's no reason a car should ever cost more than, to me, $50,000. But whatever, what do I know? I guess that's the show. Meant to wrap this up a couple weeks ago. Dr. Gill, the guy I trained, had a set at the Arlington, at the Draft House, the lounge. Had a great set. He crushed. My tutelage helped him. He killed it. Granted, he had 30 people of the 60 in the audience, but that helps. We had a good set. Kimbo Slice turned us down to come on the show, so fuck him.
Yeah, I was a huge Kimbo Slice fan before
you were,
he...
You were big.
Yeah, I used to watch his videos of him going to your barbecue and kicking your ass.
Yeah. I wish he would go to Walmart and just beat up fat people who are riding around in scooters. That would be a good video.
Best of both worlds. Yeah. I have shows coming up. Let me think what I have. I have the next weekend. Clearly, we have the Ravens post game.
Yep. Sunday, about 7:45-ish.
I think I don't have a show this Saturday, but Thursday, I'm at the green room of the Arlington Draft House.
Nice. That's where Dr. Gill just murdered it.
And then depending on when Marcus gets a show out, I don't know when he's going to do it, but we're going to be doing a rehearsal for the murder mystery at McGoobie's Joke House at 6 o'clock on Tuesday. Feel free to show up.
Free to attend. They'll be serving drinks in the bar adjacent. Marcus, how far away are you from Hartford, Connecticut?
Probably about 4 hours, maybe 4.5.
Nice. I will be there September 24th through the 27th. I expect you and the lady to make a weekend out of it.
Consider it a deal.
Nice.
Really?
Bring Mermelstein.
No, don't do that.
Fuck that guy.
And wear clothes. We'll see you guys next week. And hey, listen, this Thursday we'll be on the mothership TMOS.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Until then, later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.